Thank you, Val. I just want to add to what Kayla said and about the big give and just say thank you so much for your generosity. You know, it's been a difficult year in so many ways, but it's just amazing. As difficult as things have been, our church has been just abundantly generous in the midst of all of this, you know, crazy stuff in our world. And I just think that just speaks volumes of what God does in people's lives, that God will enlarge our hearts and help us to be generous and giving, even in times where it's tempting to kind of pull back. And so thank you so, so much. I want to invite you to take a journey with me this morning. We're going to go back in time, 2020 years, and imagine with me that you have the privilege of being a guest in that Bethlehem stable on the most holy night, the night Jesus was born. And I think it's safe to say that the way that Jesus came into this world is not the way you or I would have made arrangements for the arrival of the Son of God. His mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph had just traveled 120 miles on foot, or maybe on a donkey, from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to be registered for taxation. And when they get there, the town is already packed full with other travelers. So this town is already overcrowded. They're unable to find any kind of suitable housing. Now, in Christmas pageants, Mary and Joseph, they only knock on one door, right? There's, you know, you see the little Christmas play, there's just one inn that they knock on, and it's always the grumpy old innkeeper, you know, that says, no, there's no room in the inn. Probably didn't happen exactly like that. It was probably more like Joseph. Now imagine, they've already traveled all this way, they're exhausted, they're tired, and now they have to go throughout town. They probably knocked on a lot of doors in Bethlehem that night and got turned away at every one of them. Exhausted, finally, they find a place in a little stable. And the contrast that we see in this little stable where Jesus is born are remarkable. An illegitimate puppet king named Herod sleeps in a palace just a few miles away, while Jesus, the king of all creation, sleeps in a feed trough. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, is surrounded by animal smells and animal filth. It's a fitting picture of the holiness of God coming into a sin-filled world. And then in the darkest of night, the light of the world is born. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light, as the song goes. Think about the very presence of this newborn baby. His presence turned this dirty stable into the most holy, sacred cathedral in the world. Think about the awesome sacredness of this moment. Because in Jesus, we see the wisdom of God orchestrating the perfect plan of salvation and restoration. In Jesus, we see the power of God miraculously creating a life in the womb of a virgin. In Jesus, we see the humility of God in leaving his heavenly throne to become a baby, to be handled and fed and even disciplined by the people he created. And we see the love of God that compelled Jesus to willingly come into this world and lay down his life, not for his sins, but for ours. So in this stable, at this manger, we find ourselves with a front row seat as witnesses of the very presence of God. John chapter 1 says, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's total, absolute perfection. Perfect love, perfect holiness. Emmanuel, God with us. The very presence of God wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This picture of Jesus being fully human at the same time fully God is the picture of God's plan for all of mankind. When you boil it all down, God is after this. God's one desire is for each and every one of us to enjoy his presence. That's what God wants. And God is jealous for us, not because, you know, God needs some kind of self-assurance. He's jealous for us because God knows what we need more than anything else in life is his presence. And so his desire for us is to experience, to live in his presence. We see this all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, man, that had to be a pretty amazing place, right? There's no death. There's no sickness. It's perfection in every way. Even the wild animals are tame at the Garden of Eden. And imagine this. Adam and Eve never had a single fight. What a place. And as amazing as the Garden of Eden must have been, the most amazing thing, though, about the Garden of Eden, the most striking thing, was not any of those things. The most amazing, wonderful thing about the Garden of Eden was the presence of God. Because the Bible says that God would come and he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. So this has always been the heart of God, that we would enjoy his presence. Now, we know things take a dreadful turn as Adam and Eve rather choose to do things their way instead of God's way. And subsequently, they're banished from the Garden of Eden. And again, the most tragic thing about being banished from the Garden of Eden was not, you know, all the stuff they were going to miss out on. What they were missing out on more than anything else was the presence of God. They were banished from his presence. And we see in the coming generations, as humankind began to exist outside the presence of God, things go from bad to worse in the world. The further you get from the light, the darker things get. And most of the Old Testament is about how dark, broken, and dreadful life is when we exclude God. But as dreadful as things become in the Old Testament, sprinkled throughout the Old Testament, there's these rays of light when people choose to seek the presence of God in their lives. So we have all these really cool stories in the Old Testament, like the story about Enoch, kind of a short story. It says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Wow. So in the midst of darkness, there's still people seeking God, and Enoch is walking with the Lord. And then God takes him away. God basically says, Enoch, this world isn't worthy of you. So I'm going to give you the gift of being in my presence. And by the way, this is kind of a little, you know, nugget of gold inside the message today. It's only natural when our loved ones go to be with the Lord. It's natural for us to grieve and to mourn. But also, as this verse reminds us, being taken into the presence of God is not a curse, it's a reward. Amen? Yeah. It's a blessing to go into the presence of God. So this has always been God's desire for us, that we would live in his presence. And so as we go throughout the Old Testament, we have these rays of light, people like Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Moses. Remember Moses, his experience with the presence of God at the burning bush. And that was the beginning of a lifelong relationship as the Bible says that Moses would have this relationship with God where we'd get to talk to God like a friend speaks with a friend. And then as Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, the greatest thing about that experience was the fact that they were going to enjoy the presence of God. God was calling the Israelites into a relationship with him. And so God manifested his presence, and he would show himself to them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at nighttime. They got to experience and see the very presence of God wherever they were. Now, you might be thinking, maybe you've thought at some point in your life, man, if God would show me something amazing like that, I would never sin again. Well, wasn't true back then, because in spite of the fact that God revealed himself so powerfully, they saw so many amazing things. Time and time again, they chose to worship other gods. They turned their back on God. They lived sinful lives. They rebelled against God's leadership. All of these things take place. And it gets to the point where God actually tells Moses, because of the great sin of my people, when they go into the promised land, my presence isn't going to go with them. I'm going to give them the promised land, but my presence is not going to go with them. And Moses was so distraught by that prospect that he cries out to the Lord. And he prays this prayer in Exodus chapter 33. If your presence does not go with us, everybody say presence. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else distinguishes me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Wow. Moses says, the promised land, I'm sure it's wonderful, but God, it's nothing without you. More than anything, God, we need your presence because it's your presence that makes us who we are. Without your presence, we're just like everyone else. And so he cries out to the Lord. And so the distinguishing thing about the people of God was not going to be their great armies or their great economy or even their great religion. The thing that would always distinguish the people of God is the presence of God. David would later write in the Psalms about the presence of God. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Everybody say presence again. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. You know, this is why God chose David. God didn't choose David because of David's great military ability or his great strength or his wealth or anything else. God chose David because David had a heart for God. He sought the Lord, and that's the kind of leader that God was looking for. And David had come to recognize long before he became king that there was something so amazing, so special about being in the presence of God. He says, there's joy in your presence. There's eternal pleasure at your right hand. You see, church, in the presence of God, fear has no place. In the presence of God, all of our insecurities, they just fall away. Because we know that the one who knows us best loves us most. In the presence of God, there's incredible joy. In the presence of God, there's peace that passes understanding. In the presence of God, there's unconditional love and acceptance. So throughout the darkness of the Old Testament, there are these rays of light. As God connects with people, as people seek the Lord. But then we get to the end of the Old Testament, and even the rays of light stop for 400 years. The Bible says for 400 years, from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there wasn't a word from God that came through even one prophet. 400 years of silence from heaven. Wow. Until John the Baptist shows up and he has a word from God, he comes to announce the arrival of Jesus. So this baby in a manger represents the very heart of God for his people. That is why Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. It's his presence. As Jesus begins his earthly ministry, Matthew would write about Jesus, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So when Jesus was born into the world, God came to make his presence known to us. And so everywhere that Jesus went, he took the presence of God with him. And so when Jesus encountered people who were sick, Jesus healed sick people because sickness is not from God. When Jesus encountered demons, he drove them out with a command. When Jesus even encounters a storm out on the Sea of Galilee, he speaks peace to the storm and the storm is silenced. Wherever Jesus encounters injustice, he confronted it. Everywhere Jesus goes, he takes the presence of God with him because he is God. Yeah. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's great for then. But how about 2020? How about now, Tim? How does that help me now? Listen, I want you to know that if you know Christ, if you've invited him into your life, the very presence of Jesus is with you 24/7. Amen? Yeah. Because when Jesus left planet Earth, he sent his Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to live in our lives, to empower us to live for God and to enjoy his presence forever. One of the great promises that Jesus gave his disciples was this, Matthew 18:20. He said, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Hallelujah. Yeah. And church, this is Jesus' vision for his church, is that his presence is with us. He's here. This is what makes church, church. This is what makes church essential. What makes church essential is not music or preaching or buildings or stained glass windows or even fellowshipping with other Christians. These are wonderful things. But what makes church essential is not any of those things. What makes church essential is the presence of the Lord in our midst. Amen. Amen? It's his presence. And church, when we have his presence, we have everything. We have everything. I could take you to some of the worst church buildings in the world today. Places that don't have a roof and no air conditioning or heating, and they're meeting out in the wilderness under some tree on the African Sahara. And yet when they get together, the presence of Jesus is there. And they would never say, "Oh, we wish we had a building." Because what they want is the presence of God. That's what they're hungry for. When we have the presence of God, we have everything. And when we don't have the presence of God, we have nothing. Nothing. So church, I want to invite you as we close out this year and we look forward to next year, I want to challenge us as a church to have a fresh hunger for the presence of God. Amen? a fresh hunger for the presence of God. There have been, in this last year, you know, a lot of different prophecies out there. Honestly, some of them are just plain goofy. But a lot of what's being said is actually good, and it's from God. And one of the common threads that I've heard in so many prophecies is that after this season of trial, we are going to experience a season of blessing and renewal and power in the Holy Spirit. And I've just heard this from so many people that I actually really trust. And I'm believing God for that. I'm believing that 2021 is going to be an amazing year of enjoying the presence of God. Amen? Of seeing the power of God, of seeing miracles take place. I believe God has so much for us, church. It's all about his presence. Now, we're going to look at one last verse, and so we're going to go from the beginning of the gospel to Revelation. Here I am, Jesus says. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So I want you to see, it's always God's desire for us to enjoy his presence. Amen? Now think about this. In Matthew chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 2, we have Mary and Joseph knocking on doors for a place for Jesus to be born. In Revelation 3, we have Jesus knocking on doors, looking for a heart that will let him in. Now, Jesus is not doing this because he's lonely or needy. Jesus is doing this because he loves us and he knows we need him. So he says, I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is a verse that often we use, and it's legitimate, but we often use this to share with unbelievers about the fact that they can open their heart to Jesus Christ. But reading this in context, Jesus is actually speaking to his church. It's the church in Laodicea. And I've always thought, what a sad thing for Jesus to be outside the church, knocking on the door, saying, invite me in. Says it to the church. So I want to just challenge us, encourage us in this Christmas season. This is why Jesus came. He came so that we could live in and enjoy and experience his presence. His presence. And the cool thing is, you don't have to wait till you come to church on Sunday morning to enjoy his presence. You can have his presence all the time. He's always with you. And the way you can make yourself more aware of his presence is by taking time out of your busy day and deciding in your heart that there is actually nothing in this world that's more important than Jesus. Because there isn't. Can you think of anything? I can't. I can't think of a single thing in my life that's more important than Jesus. So if this is true, Jesus should never get leftover time. Amen? He should get the first and the best, and then everything else gets the leftover time. And when we do this, we're going to become more aware of his presence in our life. You're going to see just that intimacy with the Lord increase in your life. And I don't care how long you've been following Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus a long, long time ago. Long time ago. And yet I still know this. If I neglect taking time in the presence of God, my heart starts to get cold and weary and tired. Even after all these years of walking with him, you don't go into autopilot with Jesus. Amen? Yeah, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time in your life, I want to encourage you, there's more. There's more of the Lord. There's more that God wants to do in your life. There always is. So let's seek his presence. Amen? Let's seek the presence of the Lord in this Christmas season and as we look forward to a new year with the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you bow your hearts with me? Thank you, Lord. Worship team, would you join me on the platform this morning? I want to just invite you, first of all, if you're here and you'd say, well, I know the Lord, but I just haven't been experiencing his presence as much as I would like to. And you know this in your heart. And I want to go a step further. You're not just raising your hand saying, yes, poor me, that's me. I'm not experiencing the presence of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment this morning. How many of you know you haven't been experiencing the presence of God as much as you want to experience the presence of God? And this morning you're willing to make that commitment and say, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to experience the presence of God more in my life. More in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You want more of God. You're hungry for God. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hunger. You have a desire in your heart. I want to know you more. Yeah. Now, I want to ask a second question. Are you here this morning or you're watching online and you know that really you've drifted away from God? Or perhaps you've never invited Christ into your life. I'm here to tell you this morning that the presence of God changes everything. Changes everything. The weariness, the heaviness of life, the guilt, the shame you've been carrying around with your sin. Jesus comes in and he takes care of all of that. And he is knocking at the door this morning. And he's willing, if you're willing, he's willing to come in. And so this morning, if you want to pray to invite Christ into your life, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want to invite you to raise your hand. Even if you're watching online, sitting at home in your living room, raise your hand when I say three. I might not see your hand, but the Lord will. So when I say three, you raise your hand and you're just saying, Tim, today is my day. Today, I want to recommit my life to Christ or I want to give my life to Christ. If this is you, you raise your hand when I get to three. One. Two, three. Yeah, God bless you, man. Hallelujah. Others. Yes, hallelujah. Anyone else? I want to pray with those of you who raised your hand this morning. And church, will you pray along with me with those who have raised their hand? Pray after me this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want your presence in my life. I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. So, Lord, I open my heart up to you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me, and I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord, forgive my sin. Change my heart. I want to follow you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, church, God is alive. Amen. He's living. His desire is for us to be closer to him than we've ever been before. It really is. Would you stand with me this morning? And let's just respond to the word of the Lord this morning with this great song of worship.